Hello and welcome to Real World HR, the podcast putting the human back into HR. I'm Louise Kennedy, a HR expert, chartered CIPD professional and founder of award-winning HR consultancy Oculus HR. In the Real World HR podcast, we focus on people and business, telling the stories that we've learned from and explaining the processes which have supported the solutions. This episode features Sarah Hamilton-Gill, founder of Leap Into HR Consultant. Sarah's passion for empowering HR professionals to take the leap from full-time employment to start their own successful HR consultancies comes from her experience of developing a successful HR consultancy business almost 30 years ago. She has grown the business to her own terms, and this is something Sarah is passionate about, to be able to help other HR professionals achieve, which is why Leap Into HR Consultant exists today. We're going to chat all the benefits of having a mentor to help guide you through a business experience. Are you ready to step into the real world of HR? So, thank you very much, Sarah, for coming along to have our chat today. I'm really looking forward to be able to learn more about what it is that you do and also kind of understand that role of a mentor as well. And just really important for all different businesses, kind of not just the HR businesses. So, as I say, thank you very much for coming along. Do you just want to maybe start off by explaining who you are, what you've done and kind of the experience that you've had that's led you to where you are today?
Yes, thank you very much, Louise, for inviting me onto your podcast. It's really nice to be on this side of the fence for once.
Yeah.
So in terms of very, very headlines in terms of my background, set up a consultancy 30 years ago. But prior to that, I'd been in the retail sector. So 5 years of fast-paced HR, mainly employee relations issues, I have to say, in the retail sector. Went into consulting and 3 decades on nearly, I'm always being asked the question, or certainly before I set up Leap Into, I was always asked the question, oh, I'd love to get into consulting. How do I do it? And this kept going on and on and on. I thought there must be at some point, for me to share my expertise and my highs and lows of what I've done with other people. And that's where we then created a series of programs called Leap Into HR Consulting, which is, it does what it says on the tin. We help people to move from the corporate world into setting up their own businesses and growing it from there.
And I think it's really interesting, isn't it? Obviously, we've just celebrated 10 years in business this year, and you don't always remember all of the things that you went through. You know, I think I remember I was working in automotive at the time, and I thought, I'm going to set up a HR consultancy, and not having any experience of being a consultant, I've been a HR manager, looking after 2 different sites, very full-on, fast-paced type of environment. And then you don't think about all the other things that come with it, do you? You know, you think, well, I'm really good at HR, so I'm going to do a consultancy. But then actually all the other things that come across, and whether, as I say, whether it's HR or whether it's any other type of business, there's a lot of other aspects that come with it, as in learning how to be a business owner is the biggest crux of it all, isn't it?
It is. And the interesting thing is when I set up, dare I say it, in 1994, we'd only just that year got the internet.
All right. So okay.
Can you imagine trying to run a consultancy or a business now without the internet? It was a very different world. And of course, HR consulting didn't exist in those days either. It was management consulting with an HR expertise. So it's not like it is now. There's hundreds of thousands of people doing it now, but there was nobody to follow, and there was no coaching, there was no mentoring, there was nothing. It was, trial and error. And that's how I started.
Yeah.
So, there was no route map.
Yeah. Was it just something that was a bit of a kind of burning desire for you to do? You said you'd work kind of 5 years retail, I'm assuming in HR roles, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then was it just something that was a bit of a burning desire that you decided that you wanted to go into? Or did you do it for family reasons? Or what was your motivator at that time?
Well, in those days, I mean, I hadn't got a clue what consulting was. And we had a company come in, as you do, you had this company come in. They come and do a change management program. And the guy that was heading it up actually was somebody I knew from school.
Right.
And he'd just set up his own management consulting firm up in Manchester. And I was in Hertfordshire at the time. And he said, oh, Sarah, you'd be really suited to join us as one of our HR experts as an associate. And naive old me thinking, well, it'll be easy. He was telling me the dream about how much you get for a day rate and how great it would be and all the rest of it. So I gave up my corporate career and became an associate for him and his business.
Right, okay.
And I can remember my parents going mad. It's like, Sarah, you got this fantastic career and now you've got no income. So that's how I kind of fell into it, really.
Yeah, just through the types of conversations that you have, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So then you worked with them initially and then you're moving on from there, I suppose. it enabled you to kind of put your toe in the water, so to speak, didn't it? To find a little bit more about what you wanted to do and what you didn't as well, isn't it?
And it's a really interesting stepping stone, because a lot of people kind of are lacking in confidence when they go into consulting. And being an associate can really build that confidence of how to do consulting, the processes, also the business development side of it. Quite often you get the work given to you rather than you have to go out and hunt for it yourself. So it was a good stepping stone, but it wasn't long before I realised that I didn't really need them. And that's when I went alone.
And went and did it by yourself as well. And I think that's the interesting part, isn't it? When you realise that actually you step into that associate role. And I think one of the biggest things, and it's kind of very much for our team, is that you need to do many different tasks at the same time, don't you? It is the age-old multitasking, but actually you need to be able to, you know, from our team, you might deal with, you know, 10 different clients in a day. Well, actually, that doesn't suit everybody, does it? That doesn't suit.
No.
Some people are quite rigid. Some people wouldn't be able to do that element of it. You know, so it is a, you know, a special skill to be able to move between the different task-orientated element of it, I think.
And I think traditionally I would have said, because we use a lot of profiling in the programs that we use, traditionally I would have said there's a kind of a best fit for a consultant. I think that's changed. I think traditionally, you know, it would have been better to be an extrovert because you have to go out and network, you need to build clients, et cetera, et cetera. I think because of what's happened with the pandemic and this great big switch to being, you know, online and virtual, it does suit the more introverted people. So I always say to people, create the business around your personality. So not all aspects of kind of products and services are going to fit your personality. So make sure it does fit who you are as an individual as well. It's really important.
And actually that probably brings you on to thinking about what you would want from a cultural point of view, isn't it? You know, so when you think about who you are, I'm just kind of putting all these things together here. You kind of think about who you are, you know, as you say, from a profiling point of view and what fits. But then it's also about what it is that you're creating, and whether you're just an individual HR consultant or you're building a business to be able to create it, that's inevitably going to be what comes into your business, and that's how you're forming the business to be able to move forward as well.
And it's really interesting. When I speak to a lot of people and they're thinking about moving into independent consulting, very few of them have or discuss with me their aspirations to have a bigger business.
Right, okay.
So they go, oh no, I don't want a big business. I've got family commitments, blah, 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 blah. I just want to be an independent and have the flexibility. And I'm like, that's great. And then you kind of, 1 or 2 years down the line, you can see they've taken on a VA, they've taken on associates, and they've got the appetite and the passion now that they realise that they actually do want a bigger business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Yeah. And that's fine, isn't it? Because you can change the scope of what it is that you're working towards
exactly.
as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain maybe some of your successes that you've had? So I think you kind of, from your consultant point of view, I believe you built your business and then you sold your business. Is that right?
I did. So I built the business, got to over £1 million turnover. We had offices in St Albans, 21 staff. And again, this was quite a long time ago. So I then kind of got to the point where I'm like, well, what's new? What's next? Because I like variety. I like to do new things. And I'd already developed a 360 product, which is licensed to Thomas International. And we were having this conversation one day when I had a visit with them. And they were talking about the fact that they were going to recruit an HR director. And I jokingly said, well, thanks for considering me. And the next thing I know, my business has been integrated into Thomas International. My team, me, my products, everything, my customers. And I've become their head of HR and 360 services worldwide.
Right, okay.
And there we go.
That kind of quite just happened as opposed to kind of something that you planned to happen. Yeah.
It wasn't a planned thing. And I stayed there for 3 years and I learned an awful lot. But I also learned that being an entrepreneur is more important to me. So I then came back out and started my business again, slightly differently this time. But I've got the DNA of an entrepreneur. I can't work for anybody else anymore.
Yeah, I know. That's the worrying bit, isn't it? Once you kind of, you go and you dip your toe in the water, you kind of think, actually, who would employ us?
No.
You wouldn't want to be employed either, isn't it? I think that's the biggest point. I don't think you'd want to be employed.
And it's a shame because actually a lot of consultants have got a fantastic breadth of knowledge and working with multiple clients. So if people do want to go back into the corporate world, it's really, really valuable experience. But the corporate world don't see that. they just think, oh, well, you'll just do it for a short period of time, then you'll come back out again.
And then you'll go back out again. Yeah. But actually, it can be so interesting. I'm just thinking one of our clients kind of challenged us on something quite recently. They've got about 150 staff, and we've said we'll go in and support them for a couple of years, and then they'll move on and recruit somebody to bring them in-house. And the question they said to us a couple of weeks ago was, have we missed out as a business not having somebody in HR in? And I think my response to that was, well, no, you haven't, because you've had the basics. But then actually, as you've progressed, what we're providing to you now is different to what you would have if somebody from HR came in, because you'd be paying somebody at a certain level who would deliver transactional HR, where we're delivering all the strategic element of it now with you, which is then can be set up and established. And then you can start looking at bringing somebody in at the right level, because you know your strategy element, you know kind of the ways of work, and you know your transactional side of things all taken care for. And then you can recruit the right person into there as well, isn't it? So it's quite interesting when you've got a good skill set as a consultant, because you can provide a huge amount more than what you potentially could have done, you know, before, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly as consultants, we have the advantage that we're not embroiled in the politics that go on within an organisation. We can work with them very closely, but we're one step removed from that.
Yeah.
And I think certainly my experience as CEOs and MDs is they really value that level of objectivity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it is, isn't it? As you say, you can be completely objective and bring your experience from all the sorts of different areas to be able to bring it all in together.
There's always this dilemma, and I don't know whether you face this, that a couple of times a few more than a couple over the last 30 years, that there's always this balance, though, that they are paying your invoices. So how much do you challenge to them when things aren't perhaps going as smoothly as you'd like to? And there's also a potential risk that you might lose the business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether you've found that.
No, I think we have over the time. And I think I remember bringing a new member of the team in, and there's been some kind of concern. Actually, it was the way that someone from the client had spoken to our employee, and I just was, you know, that's completely unacceptable. I won't allow anyone in the team to be spoken to in that type of way. And actually, if it does mean losing the business, that's absolutely fine, because they're not the people that you'd want to work with. And I think it's, I suppose, in essence, you can't be as tough as that when you're at the early stages. But, you know, confidently saying, actually, the clients need to be like for like to the way that we want to be and the people that we want to work with, and they appreciate what we're saying and the value that we're adding to their business and how we make a difference. So I think it is quite important from that element of it that you get it right.
Yeah. And I think certainly for me, you know, and you're right, it's something you can't necessarily do in the first kind of few years where you're building up your income and you're kind of needing to do the work with whoever you can at that point, probably. But certainly further down the line, I don't know about you, but I've certainly got a very strong set of values. And if I don't feel there's a good values match, then I will either not take on the work or I'll walk away from it.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. And actually, Hayley, who does some freelance work with us now, I remember her saying to me, and she laughs at the fact that I remember this, about 8-9 years ago, we're at an expo and she was working for somebody else at the time. And she said, there will be a point in the future that you'll be able to pick and choose who you work with. And I was kind of a year in thinking, I don't think so. You know, kind of, you need to take the work in as it comes. And then I'd said to her recently, and I said, I remember you saying that. She was like, well, that was clever of us to say, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
But it's all right, isn't it? That actually you've got to be, I think when we talk about the culture and the value part, when you're talking about kind of, you know, doing that personality profile element, that's so important within a business. And certainly that's our conversations that are happening in many of our clients now, is about the culture of the business and the values of the business to enable that as a starting point to do any of your recruitment or your performance management or your day-to-day aspects of managing people is based around your culture and your values that go into there as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I've got a couple of clients I'm working with at the moment, and when their challenges are very similar in that, you know, the values alignment between where the owner or the kind of founder of the business is slightly misaligned with some of the team, it's so important that we get that back on track, because it's not going to go away. And also, not only have you got the values within the team, but then you've got potentially values with the clients as well. So yeah. It does get quite complex in the end.
Yeah, it does kind of all feeds in together element of it, isn't it?
But it's so important. Yeah. You know, the values piece is really, really important as a consultant.
Yeah, no, definitely that's what it is. We call it the culture challenge. That's kind of how we're kind of blaming it up with our clients at the minute, because it is a challenge around culture. You know, it's kind of how it makes a difference. And one of our clients said, well, we've just got a great culture. Well, what is it? Well, couldn't
Are
really
sure?
put it into words. Yeah,
you know, how but, do you know?
Yeah, and it, well, they couldn't even verbalise what it was. So we've been doing sessions with them about verbalising, and that's why we've kind of come up with the culture challenge, because I think that makes a big difference on it for how they're going to take their business forward. So obviously you work with many people who are really taking that first step into self-employment or setting up a business, and you take a role of being a mentor within that. Obviously there's other aspects of it there as well, but do you take that role of mentor, or is that part of the programs that you put together? Do you just want to explain a little bit around that side?
Yeah, certainly. So we have a range of options for people depending on where they are on their journey. So our kind of our signature program is the group coaching, where we take them from knowing nothing about running a business all the way through to launching it, and that's a 6-week program, virtual program. So I would mentor them in a group, and there is the option as well of one-to-one mentoring. So that's the startup, but then we also have the kind of the growing of your business, because that's great. You've launched your business, now what? You probably need more clients. So then we have the 90-day client accelerator program, and then we have a further one which is called the leaders program, which is for six-figure businesses. So there's something for everybody.
Yes.
And it just depends where people are on the journey, really.
Yeah. And it's when people start raising their head up to look for the support that they need, isn't it? Because I think I always say that you don't know what you don't know, you know.
Yes.
And that's quite a big thing, because you don't know what you need to look for or what's available. So you having those different steps of process is really, really useful, not just from a HR consultant point of view, but from anybody looking to set up a business.
Yeah. And it's really interesting. We had some feedback from the cohort that's just finished. One of the ladies there said exactly what you've just said. She said, I didn't know all this stuff. She said, I had no idea.
Yeah.
But at least now I know what I need to focus on and what I don't need to focus on. And that's equally as important, because there's a lot of noise out there in terms of differing ways of doing things, and people will get confused and overwhelmed. So it is important to be really clear about what you need to do to start with.
Yeah, and I think I do find that people are very, very nice about giving advice. You know, like if you ask people questions, people do respond, don't they? You know, and they will provide some advice. However, it's how much advice you get.
Yes.
Sometimes that can be overwhelming in itself. I've met with somebody quite recently, just as a bit of a mentor opportunity. And some of the things that it came away with, I think if I took every single point on board, I would have been completely freaked out by some of the conversation there, like how the future of the business would be. And then you kind of think, well, actually, that's not as relevant. This is relevant. But you've got to be quite pragmatic to know what it is that you take from it and what you wouldn't. And I think 5 years ago, I probably wouldn't have been in that same situation. You know, I would have just taken all of that on board, not supported anybody else about it, where now you kind of know there's different people, there's different questions to be asked, and there's different advice to be taken.
Yeah, and we've kind of tailored it. We've now had just over 160 people go through the programme. So 160 new businesses. So really amazing. And we tweak it and we adapt it based on feedback, and we know it works. You know, and the other thing that really amazes me, and I saw something on Stephen Bartlett's Diary of a CEO this week, where he says that people are constantly looking for the next thing to be qualified in. And I get it all the time when people are coming on the bootcamp, or maybe I think I need to do a coaching qualification, or I need to do this. I'm like, you don't need to do anything right now. Just focus on setting up your business. You can specialize later, but don't try and do a coaching course and this course and that course and the other course while you're trying to set up your business.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't worry.
No, just, and I think that's a really valid point, because I think I'd spoke to someone quite recently and they'd set up a HR consultancy as part of another like financial organization business, and he was saying, I think I need to go for this next qualification. And I said, in my opinion, I don't think you would need to. You know, nobody's asking you the differential between, you know, the two areas that he was talking about. And he was like, oh, I'm completely taken aback. I don't think he'd had the conversation with anyone. I think he just had in his mind, well, I'll get more clients, I'll get more work if I do this. And I said, if I don't, you know, it's going to take you that much time and effort to get to that, then actually, you know, you could be developing your business more as it is.
Yeah, you're completely right. And I think the majority of clients, I think, that new startups go and target is SMEs. So, you know, an MD, a CEO of an SME, they're not going to be looking for a string of qualifications, extra qualifications. Obviously, they want you to know what you're talking about, but they don't ask, are you CIPD qualified? What
level did you get?
Have you got, what did you get, level 5 or 7? It's
yeah.
Like they don't even know what the CIPD is. And they, quite frankly, they don't really care, as long as you do a really good job. So I think it's important. It's more about an individual's confidence and their potential imposter syndrome than it is actually the reality of the situation. Their clients are not going to worry about these things.
Yeah. No, and I think you're completely right. And I think you've then get to a good place and then you decide what else you want to maybe specialise in or what extra services you want to be able to provide. And then you can go on when you've got the time to be able to go and do it at the right time to bring exactly. it in, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Right timing is everything.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I think just making sure you've got everything covered on there as well. So really from the role that you're doing there now within the business, leaping into HR consultant, you believe that the role of mentorship and coaching is really important. Do you want to just explain a bit? I mean, obviously, kind of opening this up to, you know, other people who are starting businesses out. What do you think the benefit of having someone as a mentor or a coach, because they are different, as a mentor or a coach, what do you think the benefits to people would be to do that, to take them through the steps of starting up?
I think in particular in starting up your business, I always want people to accelerate their success. So by having a mentor and a coach that has been through this process so many times, I was also a Virgin Startup mentor as well. So I haven't just helped HR companies set up. I've helped dog baskets and T-shirt companies and all sorts of other things.
All sorts of things.
But the methodology is very similar. And I think having a mentor and a coach, typically, the coaching element to it will allow people to grow as an individual, gain more confidence. The mentoring is just taking my 30 years of experience of what works and what doesn't work, what continues to work, and just helping guide them when they just need some support. And it just helps be more successful more quickly, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how would you differentiate between what a mentor is and a coach is? Because we hear lots of people are coaches out and about, and then a mentor is different, isn't it? Bit of a difficult one to define, but can you define what the difference is between the two? What would you define them as being?
I think for me, a mentor is sharing knowledge and experience with somebody and actively giving a person tips and advice and guidance, technical guidance. Whereas a coach is very much more drawing out, possibly more on the kind of mindset side. It might be challenging them as an individual, but it's not necessarily giving them any answers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So kind of really drawn from them, isn't it? From a coaching point of view. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think you did well there. Thanks.
So I think it's good to have a blend of the two. I think, you know, mm-hmm. individuals that are going into consulting or even wanting to build their businesses, it is always often a combination of the two that works really well together.
Yeah. And sometimes people don't do coaching for a longer period of time because there obviously is a cost that's normally attached to the coaching element of it, isn't it, as well? So it's quite a difficult, you know, when you're weighing up those additional, whether it's startup or whether it's kind of into, you know, early years of the business, you kind of weigh up where you spend your money, don't you, and what the value of it has been. And from a personal point of view, I've done some coaching this year, and actually the value to that has been, you know, it's been quite phenomenal for me personally, but also from a business perspective as well. And again, you don't know what you don't know until you're in it. And then actually, as you've come out, I've done that period of time doing some coaching, you kind of think, actually, that was what I needed. You know, I thought I did. And I then was able to advise someone who we do some work with the other day. She was like, do I do this? And I said, do you know what? I think you need a coach to start with to be able to help you make the decisions of what it is that you want to do from a business. Where do you want your business to go? What, you know, what's your end game? What's your 10-year plan? What's your 5-year plan? Whatever it is. And she was like, oh, yes, I never thought about doing something like that. So it is just, again, you don't know what you don't know. Sometimes just people need that conversation to have those options opened up to them.
And I think it's really important to see mentoring and coaching as an investment rather than a cost.
Yeah.
And to think about what's the return on investment with coaching and mentoring, because, you know, it might be a program, for example, our program's just over £1,000 for the startup. That's the equivalent of just over one day's consulting for some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the return on investment, it's easy to create that return. So I think people need to be really clear about what is it they're going to get from this. And, you know, even if you're charging 250 plus VAT for an hour's coaching, what does that enable that individual to get from it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It can make a big difference to them, isn't it?
Huge difference.
Because as you said, it goes back to that mindset, you know, it goes back to what's important for the individual that they don't necessarily know enough of themselves. You know, you think you know yourself, and it's only when people ask you the questions that you can really delve down into it.
And I can remember coaching some really experienced consultant last year, and she was talking about one of her particular issues. And within 1 hour, we talked about 3 or 4 different options for her to increase her profit. And that was it. She went off and did it, implemented it, and she's flying. So it doesn't take much to be able to get this return if you obviously experience.
Yeah. So you say it's investing at the right time when you know that it's the right thing to be able to make a difference within your business and to you personally for it as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So one of the questions I would imagine comes up quite regular for you because you're starting to deal with people who are setting up a new business. Obviously, as you said, you've done the Virgin mentoring as well, but obviously from a consultant point of view, I would imagine people say, is now the right time? Should I be doing it now? What should I be giving consideration to? How do you respond to that? Because it's such a decision to decide whether you're going to go and set up a business and actually you need to understand your whole personal circumstances, whether that's available or not. What type of conversations come up around that for you?
There's lots of conversations, and it's a classic one that crops up on a regular basis, both individually and in our webinars, is it a good time to start? And I've been saying, because I started these programs back in 2019, and ever since then I've said it's never been a better time. But every year it keeps getting better because the marketplace for HR consulting has gone through the roof because there's so many problems. You know, you've got all the challenges that we had with the pandemic. We've had Brexit in the UK. We've got instability with businesses. We've got mergers and acquisitions. We've got loads going on. And the more that we've got instability with business world, the more we're going to have outsourced HR. So the marketplace is brilliant.
Yeah, definitely. And more people don't necessarily want to make the investment of a full-time HR person in-house. You don't have to spend £30,000-£40,000 to bring somebody full-time in. You can use it as an option, isn't it? So do you think people think about it from... So that's very much from a marketplace point of view. Do people think about it from the personal point of view? Is that an often Absolutely. A conversation that comes up for you as well?
It is. And there are two types of people I talk to. There's those that are planning it years in advance. And we've got quite a few of those on our cohorts at the moment. They're planning to launch their business in 2025.
Okay, that is 2 years in advance.
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And then we have the others that are so desperate to get out of the corporate world that they just want to start at ASAP, you know. And what I say to people is don't leave it until you're desperate and you resign because you can't stand it anymore. And also it takes time to plan it, you know. Even if you took our 6-week bootcamp, that's 6 weeks. And then you've got to start building your pipeline. So I always think at least start thinking and planning and getting your ducks lined up 6 months before you actually want to launch.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think that's quite a good piece of advice to be able to know where it is that you're going. And I know when I set up, I was still working in automotive at the time and we were closing the site down. So I registered the business end of April, but I wasn't officially in the business until kind of the end of January. So I kind of had about 9 months where you were doing the basics, like who's the client going to be, doing a little bit of networking, but then doing a website, social media, trying to meet people, wasn't it? So I think I still think that was a really nice lead time for that first 9 months to kind of know what you're going to do, you know, know who Absolutely. You are and what your business is going to look like as well, isn't it?
And I think the more time you've got, I mean, not too much time, but I think, you know, 6 months is a really good lead into launching your business. And a lot of the people that come on the boot camp are wary about giving up their full-time career. So we get to the point where, again, this comes through our mentoring and coaching, and we get to the point where they decide and we discuss. Maybe they reduce the hours that they've got in their corporate role to maybe 3 days a week and run it alongside building their business. And that works really well for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, and I think, and again, still early days of when I've done it, I went and did, I think it was about 20 hours a week in one of the bigger companies, you know, just to be able to kind of make sure that you had some money coming through. Yeah. And then did the business around it. I did that for probably about 6 months. And then I went and did a maternity cover for 2 days a week. And again, that covered it. And then that got me to the point whereby I was okay. But so those first couple of years, difficult because you need to keep the money coming through because you've got kids, families, cars, everything else that you need to pay for. But actually, it's about how much you want to make it work, isn't it, to make it
Absolutely.
Successful?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this combination works really well for a lot of people. Some organisations don't tolerate that and they just say, right, you know, you're out the door. But one of the things we make sure we do on our programmes is make sure that they're ready to launch before they have those conversations.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah, just in case. It's
just in case they're not going to play ball.
No, I think that's really important. I think that's a really important point. So from a point when people are in businesses, do you think it's important that they still do their own professional development? I know we've touched on that there before around, you know, when people are thinking, oh, well, I can't set the business up till I've done this or I've done that. But what do you think the importance is when people have set a business up, you know, from any type of industry, but kind of what do you think the importance is around their own ongoing professional development?
My view on having your own business as a consultant is that it's probably the best paid personal development journey you're ever going to get. If as a consultant, you're not constantly learning and developing and coming up with new ideas, your business is going to stagnate and you'll fall behind. So if you've got a thirst for knowledge and wanting to learn more, it's the perfect career. So CPD is really important. If you're a CIPD member, it's encouraged and you know there are ways of logging it. Certainly, I know some of our listeners and maybe some of yours as well are based in the US. They have to do, it's mandatory to do CPD as an HR professional there. So I think it shouldn't need to be mandatory for people to want to do it. It should be part of their DNA that they love doing it.
Yeah, that they want to learn more and take more on. Yeah, and making sure that, I'm just thinking from a team point of view, you know, making sure that the team continue, you know, for all we're a small team, but it's important that they want to learn more as well, isn't it, and get the opportunity to be able to do that. So it's a priority from a business perspective as well.
Absolutely. And all the learning that you do, providing it's kind of related to the business, is all a business expense. So the advantage that we have over our, you know, if you're employed, is that would come out of your taxable income, whereas this is coming out of your business. So it's a great advantage as well.
So it makes a difference, yeah.
Yeah.
And then one of the other areas I just want, obviously we've touched on mentor and we've talked about you being a mentor, and obviously you have done that for a significant number of years there as well. What was your motivators around becoming a mentor? What was the thought around motivating you to think, actually, I can add value back to other people?
I think it was one of those things that's just happened quite naturally, is that people started, I didn't realise how valuable the information I had and the experience and the knowledge I had until I started sharing it with other people. And I'd kind of like, well, you know, it's just this. And eventually people were saying, well, Sarah, this is so helpful and so valuable. So bit by bit, I got into mentoring. And then, of course, shameless plug, of course, I then was a bit mad and went ahead and wrote the book, which again does a major download of knowledge. But
did you write the book based on the fact that you'd started doing the mentoring? Was that the kind of the motivator there?
It was, actually, because I started mentoring in 2019 and the programs kicked off in 2020, in the week before COVID, and then the book was launched in the November 2020 on the back of having already run 5 of those programs in 2020. I knew I wanted to do it because it's a much wider audience. From a price point of view, it's much better for people to be able to buy a book than come on a programme. So that was book number one.
Uh-huh. And have you wrote more books since then?
Oh, yeah. Not yet, but I've made a commitment to do book number 2 by next November.
Right, okay. And you'll be doing that, no doubt, from your home where you actually live, because you no longer live in the UK, do you?
I dot between here. I'm in the UK at the moment, but I'll be going back to Greece as soon as I possibly can.
For a bit of heat and warmth.
The weather here is just shocking.
Just cold, isn't it?
It's just wet.
Wet and cold. Yeah. No, but in all seriousness, you took that decision that you could operate your business from where you wanted to be, isn't it? You took the decision that actually you can be in Greece and run your business the same as what you can do in the UK.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I did that before COVID hit. So I went over there in 2019, and it was a bit of a challenge in those days because my UK consulting clients were like, well, how are we going to work with you? We hadn't had this boom in using Zoom and Teams and all the rest of it. So it was quite a challenge. But of course, I knew the clients really well. And then, of course, it all kicked off and everybody does everything virtually now. So they don't really care where you are, to be honest, as long as you deliver a good service and you're available. However, I would say the consulting side of my business has gone through the roof since I've been back in the UK.
Got more work than ever.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, I have.
So I suppose it's been interesting. It's been back out and about, isn't it? And kind of meeting people again and understand what people want. So it's inevitably that's the way that these things happen sometimes, isn't it? When you're not always looking for it.
No, I wasn't looking for any of it. So so it's a very nice, pleasant surprise.
Yes, nice place to be in, isn't it?
Yeah.
So just touching back on the mentor, you know, one of the comments that you made there is that you had all of this information and knowledge, and you didn't really realise that you were doing the mentoring side of it. There will be so many other people that are in situations that are business owners that have grown the businesses or sold the business or What is it that they can think about around kind of being a mentor? Do you think it's, I mean, because to me, they've got so much knowledge and information that actually Absolutely. They could give it to people, couldn't they? What do you Absolutely. Think about that?
There's loads of opportunities to become a mentor, whether it's in your own business or, you know, there are schemes like the NatWest mentoring scheme where you can mentor startups. Obviously, the CIPD have mentors for HR professionals. You can sign up. They're all voluntary.
Yeah.
So you're not going to earn anything from it.
No finance coming.
So, yeah, I think mentoring is a really good way for sharpening your knives in terms of understanding your own skills and methodologies that you use as well. You know, you find out what works and what doesn't work. So.
Yeah, but it can be so beneficial to so many people, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And everybody has a book in them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's never been easier to create a book and get it sold on Amazon now. So downloading that expertise into a book, it doesn't have to be a big, crazy book like mine was. You can just do a short version of it and have lots of little books. But, you know, just download it. And even you don't have to be a qualified mentor. It's about building rapport. It's about sharing your knowledge in a way that helps the mentee, really.
Yeah, to be able to do it. No, I think some really valuable information there. So what would you say is your biggest piece of advice to people who are thinking about getting a mentor or a coach?
So this is a really tricky one. So if they're going for a mentor, they need to make sure that the hype that you see on social media is actual reality. So you need to be sure that they've actually done what they said they've done, talk to people that have been through programs or mentoring with that individual, choose wisely. And I think the key thing for a lot of people is you've got to be able to get on with the person.
Yeah, I think you've got to have a good connection, haven't you?
You've got to have a really good connection, and it can't be all work and no play. I mean, the people I mentor, we do have a good laugh as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think you've got to get that balance. You've got to connect with the person. And I've chosen some pretty dodgy coaches in the past, cost a lot of money. And you think, well, you know, did I not see that coming?
Yeah.
But I think there are a lot of really good people out there that sell a lot of good stories on social media that aren't the reality of what they can do for you.
Yeah. Okay. So again, valuable information that goes into that, because I think you can make decisions based upon, or you can see a story and they've done a good job on this, but actually it's the reality of you pulling the covers back to find out what they've actually done further down, yeah, to make sure that's a suitable fit for you. Because over the years I've met people and thought, they wouldn't be quite right for me to be able to continue. It's got to have a really good dynamic. From my personal point of view, it's got to be a good dynamic to be able to encourage, and I suppose bring the same energy as what you do to a situation.
And I think the other thing I would say is if you're going to work with a mentor or a coach, is that you make sure that you have one or two sessions with them before you commit to a long-term program.
Yeah, really good advice, actually. Yeah,
because I didn't with one. And when you're one or two sessions in and you realise it's not for you, then you've got real problems trying to get out of that.
Yeah, trying to get out. And that comes back to the financial aspect of you can't absolutely get the money back, isn't it, from once you've committed to it. So very good advice. So where can our listeners find more out about you?
I think the best place to go is to our website, which is leapintoconsulting.com. Everything's on there. Everything that you need's on there. The podcast, the books, the events, everything's on there.
Yeah. And you're quite active on LinkedIn. Are you on LinkedIn?
Oh, extremely active on LinkedIn. It's one of my things that I talk about and share knowledge about a lot is LinkedIn. All consultants need to have a good profile on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And be very consistently active on it as well. So I'm on LinkedIn.
Yeah, so I think the key of that for me at the moment is that consistency. You know, you need to be consistent with the approach of what you're doing, isn't it?
Absolutely. Consistency with business development and your pipeline is absolutely essential, particularly in your first couple of years.
Yeah, without a doubt. So thank you very much for having the conversation with us. I've really kind of enjoyed going through your experience of what you've got, and from a HR consultancy point of view, obviously, but also from kind of that general business perspective. So that's really been interesting for me. So thank you very much for listening to the Real World HR podcast. And thank you again for joining me today, Sarah. It's been really interesting. You can find more information about the things that we've discussed on this episode in the show notes as well. And you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on any future episodes. Please do leave us a review. Real World HR, putting the human back into HR.